Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Kevin Wells.
Happy to be mentioned in the same conversation as Joe Brand. Thank you, John Weideman and Joe. Great call today, guys. Blackhawks, what a fun one. They pull it out in the third period. 3 goals, 83 seconds, an empty netter from Connor Bedard at the buzzer. Blackhawks win 5-2. This is Kevin Wells here on the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. We will be joined shortly here. Just got word from the Blackhawks by Landon Slaggart, making his second performance in the league, his second game. So he will join us in momentarily here on the postgame show. But again, Blackhawks now 4-2 in their last six games. They closed this one out. It's never how you start. It's always how you finish. They got a lot of contributions up and down the lineup. And because I don't get to do this a lot, I will take a tiny victory lap. Ryan Donato, we had talked about him in both intermissions. He just had an unbelievable game. Skated really well, created a bunch of grade A opportunities in the first and the second period. And that's why he is the player with the most heart for me. Tonight's player with the most heart, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine, home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 years by U.S. News and World Report. That was the 10th goal of the season for the fourth-line centerman, Ryan Donato. Joey Anderson got on the board with his third goal of the year. He's got 12 points now. Filip Kurashev got the Blackhawks on the board. Remember, they were shut out on Friday, so this was the first goal that they tallied in almost, 80, 90 minutes of hockey. Finally gave the United Center crowd, which was a little liquored up on this St. Patrick's Day, something to cheer about. A lot of loud noise, a lot of green sweaters, so it was a lot of fun. Again, Filip Kurashev, his 14th goal of the season. He's got 27 assists now. Joe Brand, I believe, is still with us right now. Joe, you still there?
Still here, Kev.
All righty. Well, let's talk about this one, man. This was a really fun one, and we're going to have Slaggart's coming in right now, so we'll bring him in just a moment here, but... Just quick little synopsis of that third period. A ton of energy there and a lot of fun. And we were talking about Donato in that fourth line for quite a while there. Finally came through and put him on the board, and then, a couple more goals there. 4-2, and that's all she wrote.
Well, I'm definitely curious what Landon Slaggart has to say because, again, I feel like the Hawks brought the same type of pressure, same type of energy offensively. They were finally catching some breaks, catching some bounces, but their consistency offensively, I think, was what helped the Hawks pick up the comeback victory here tonight.
Yeah, certainly. We just have Landon Slaggart sitting down with us now. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this has got to be pretty exciting for you. Second game, heck of a atmosphere out there. You guys pick up a nice win. This has been a really good stretch of hockey for this team. And I know it's the last couple weeks of the season here, but you've kind of hopped on board, and it's been a pretty nice offensive output. Another nice one tonight. What's it like in the locker room to, get another nice win, 5-2 tonight?
Yeah, for sure. I think we have a great group of guys in the locker room, some good veteran leadership, and kind of just leaning on them. They've been great, getting me acclimated and stuff. But yeah, the vibe's been great. Guys, we're looking for the next one now. Just keep this momentum going, especially when we head out to California for this road trip.
Landon, what were the emotions like throughout the game? Because I really feel like you guys had good chances the first two periods, just weren't catching some breaks. I mean, do you feel like you did much differently in the third?
Yeah, I think we came out a little slow. Obviously, they played yesterday too, so you want to get on them early. And I think our longevity, it paid off just keeping our feet going. And I think, yeah, we definitely upped the tempo in the second half of the second period, and that carried over to the third. So it's awesome when you can string a few goals together in back-to-back shifts. So I think we were just riding that and kept the compete high.
I guess on a personal level for you, in terms of personal accolades, I know a lot of this is about winning and wanting to get wins towards the end of the year, but what are you hoping to accomplish in these next couple of weeks here to end the 2023-24 season at the big league club?
Yeah, I think it's just getting acclimated to the NHL game. Obviously, it's the best league in the world, so just, like I said, leaning on the older guys too and learning from them and seeing what they have to offer. But yeah, honestly, just getting my feet wet and hopefully I can produce a little bit, but mostly just getting comfortable with the NHL game and the speed.
Landon, there's been so much to be said about your NHL debut, your first game, but what's the second game like? You got still as many jitters, as many butterflies?
Not as many. Once you get the first one out of the way, definitely there's a level of comfort. So, I think it definitely helped me coming into tonight, just calm down a little bit, a couple deep breaths, and I was ready to go. So, yeah, the first one's definitely special, but yeah, I'm happy to get that one out of the way so I can just focus on playing my game.
Yeah, I can tell. Smiling ear to ear. It's got to be pretty exciting. You were playing on a pretty good line tonight. You guys generated a lot of opportunities in that first period. Donato finally got one to go across there in the third. We had talked about him a lot in the intermissions. Just, I mean, he was flying around on the ice tonight. That had to have been pretty fun to be on that fourth line tonight and getting a couple opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Rads and Donnie, they're both tremendous players, so I was lucky enough to be put on a line with them. So, you know, I thought we were making things happen, hunting above the puck and creating turnovers, and I think that led to a lot of our scoring chances. So, yeah, hopefully we can keep that going and keep the chemistry going.
Any cool things, it's just like wow factors, I'm in the NHL that you've experienced yet, Landon?
I guess just, you know, seeing these guys, you watch them on TV growing up, and I think Drew Doughty was lined up for a draw in front of our bench, and I think that was a pretty surreal moment. But other than that, I think just all the food options, to be honest. they got everything here, so yeah, that's definitely an adjustment. But
What's been the best?
Ooh, I don't know. Their pregame meals are pretty dialed. There's so many options, but... yeah, some filet, some rice, some different options for sure.
There you go. That sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah, not bad.
Did you get to enjoy St. Patrick's Day weekend in Chicago? Did you get to do anything fun this weekend and enjoy? I guess the crowd was super special tonight. It's always fun on these holidays, but did you do anything fun?
Yeah, the crowd was awesome tonight. I think I felt right at home with all the green in the crowd. So, yeah, it was obviously a special weekend. I went and checked out the river yesterday, so cool. Where I'm staying isn't too far from there. A couple of the guys invited me out. I think we went to Pizza Parlor right on the river. So, yeah, definitely a cool spot. But, yeah, there's a unique energy on St. Patrick's Day weekend in Chicago, so it's fun to experience.
No doubt. Anything else, Joe?
Landon, I'm just curious, you know, with all the chances you guys had today, was there any talk about just throwing more at the goaltender, making his NHL debut? Kind of ironic, too, that there was another guy making their NHL debut, but it just seemed like the pressure was there by you guys. It seemed like what you were generating was in the right direction the first couple of periods. I mean, what was talked about in the second intermission?
Yeah, I think we knew that we needed to up our compete level a little bit heading into the second. And obviously, like you said, it was the goalie's debut. So getting more pucks to the net and just more volume, you know, no shot's a bad shot. And it's not necessarily about the first shot, but about the chance that it creates after that. So I think, yeah, we definitely honed in on that in the second period and created a lot more scoring chances.
Awesome. Well, Landon, hey, man, thanks so much for joining us here after the game. Congrats on all your success. Good luck the rest of the way. And again, hopefully you guys get a couple more two-pointers in there, a couple more wins to close out the season, huh?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. We'll keep
man.
It rolling.
Yeah,
thanks,
absolutely.
Landon.
That's Landon Slaggart. Second game for him in a Blackhawks sweater. Enjoying a nice win. And certainly, you know, for a South Bend kid and not local per se, but certainly grew up around the area, enjoyed St. Patrick's Day. He was smiling ear to ear in here. Certainly a very excited young player in this league that, you know, this team hopes to have very high expectations for. Nice enough to join us here after the game. Again, Blackhawks win this one 5-2. We will bring you more. And just coming up in a little bit, we'll have the save of the game coming up. We'll have the next game preview, a few highlights, and we'll talk to Joe in just a few moments. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
Radish has it there. Had it stripped away. Vlasic fed the slot. Lebec shoots, and Mrazek is down with a perfect butterfly save. How did he even see that one? That is a veteran goaltender move if I've ever seen one. A hard one-timer from Lebec from between the circles, and Mrazek just flat out guessed right.
Yeah, heck of a save there from Peter Mrazek. The Sharks had a really great opportunity there. Like John Weideman said, I don't know how Mrazek saw it. It was a rifle shot from the slot. Soaked up by Mrazek. The save of the game brought to you by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. Joe, that was a lot of fun, man. That was a really fun third period, and it was a really, you know, good opportunity for this team to get a victory, especially against a team that you are supposed to beat.
Yeah, I've said it before. The Hawks aren't in a position to look at the schedule and say, okay, we can win this, or I'm sorry, we we'll win this game, we will lose this game. They got to bring their A game every single day and for all 60 minutes. And I do think maybe if there were some tactical things changed in the third period, I mean, Landon Slager correcting me when we chatted with them, it was still just the same type of drive, the same type of energy. I know we've been critical on this team's starts at a few times this year and kind of as of late, but I don't think that was the flaw today in the early going. I think, you know, San Jose did a good job of getting in front of some passes and some shots, and, you know, finally the Hawks just started peppering the net a little bit more in the third period and not caring about the quality of shot, and it ended up working out for them a lot more. Again, I think steps forward offensively, and a big reason of that, I keep using the word consistency, is because of the consistency of the roster that they have now, too. I mean, Athanasiou back in the mix. I'd imagine Lucas Reichel will be here for the rest of the regular season. Hopefully he can continue to trend upwards. And, you know, unfortunately, this is keeping guys out of the lineup like Mackenzie Entwistle. And I know Reese Johnson's on concussion protocol, but there's a chance that his starting spot might be in jeopardy with guys like Landon Slaggart and Lucas Reichel back in the mix. But, you know, you're starting to rely on more consistent faces and more consistent pieces now the last breath of the season.
Yeah, it really wasn't a slow start. I thought the first period, there was a lot of great chances, especially right away. I think the first chance that they had that was Slaggart. He almost put one home from Donato. It was that backhanded pass. Donato was near the bottom of the right-hand circle, and he kind of threw one back into the slot. Slaggart found himself right in the middle all alone, just couldn't put it away, but he was oh so close to his first ever career goal there. And it was Bedard to Johnson, in and out of the glove. Seth Jones had a chance on the 4-on-2, but couldn't put it away. And Jason Dickinson had the 2-on-1 breakaway. So they were generating plenty of offensive opportunities. The floodgates finally broke through in that third period, which I think John mentioned a few times he kind of saw coming from a mile away.
In the first period, I saw two good chances and rushes by Andreas Athanasiou. The first one, he had Jacob Megna to his right, and Athanasiou chose to shoot the puck rather than to pass it. Then the next opportunity, I believe it was Lucas Reichel, as those two were coming on down, and he tried to get a pass off to Reichel. I've really liked Athanasiou's game since he's returned. He's just brought that quick pace, that fast-thinking energy immediately, and I think this Hawks team has definitely benefited from it. But all that being said, to kind of back up your point that it wasn't a slow start by this team, it was kind of a weird, sloppy game in the first 40 minutes. I think both teams were guilty of that, but those types of things can fly under the radar when you play a team like San Jose. If you make a mistake against a team like Colorado or Vancouver or Vegas, they're going to burn you and burn you hard, and the Hawks are totally aware of those types of situations. So, you know, they were able to keep a steady pace in the first 40 minutes, continue to put pressure on Devin Cooley, and then finally it ended up working out in the third period. And actually, right now, Kev, Devin Cooley's got quite the entourage just to the right, or at least the stage left of San Jose's bench. Tons of family and friends still sticking around here. It looks like almost 20 of them. Wow. He's taking pictures right in front of the ice. Sam Boney's going right by him, and he's in his shorts and flip-flops and San Jose Sharks t-shirt. And, you know, just in case people didn't hear, I mean, this guy is a San Jose native. He's from Los Gatos, I believe, Santa Clara County. He's the fourth NHL player from Santa Clara County, but the first one with the San Jose Sharks. He was just recently acquired in a trade with the Buffalo Sabres, but a former San Jose Junior Shark. And as John and I were talking about it, when he was a kid, he had the mascot Sharky at one of his birthday parties. So it's a pretty cool homegrown story for this kid. And makes his NHL debut with his childhood team.
Yeah, talk about an all-encompassing story. That's pretty special stuff. And I just can't even imagine, obviously can't imagine, you know, I never played in a professional league, but these moments of the debuts and having family around and finally eclipsing the making it to the highest level of the sport. Slaggart just mentioned it when he sat right here with us, how special that is. So good for him. He had a great, he played a great 40 minutes. Obviously, the wheels kind of fell off there in the third period. The Blackhawks had generated so many chances that, you know, eventually some were bound to go into the net, and we did see a little bit of frustration there from Cooley on that fourth goal there from Joey Anderson. Ended up throwing that puck back across the ice. But, yeah, great debut for him. You know, just was outdueled by a veteran, Peter Mrazek, who, again, two games now against the San Jose Sharks that he's had, you know, two of his better performances all year, 25 of 27, stopped 25 shots tonight. He stopped 37 in the game in January against them. And the last thing I want to point out about Mrazek, we came back with the save of the game, and that was, I believe, against Kevin LeBanc there, and that was actually, that would have made it a 3-0 game because San Jose was already up 2 at this moment in time, and that was a great A opportunity. Just love the way Mrazek played tonight. After a night he was supposed to get Friday off and ends up being thrown right back into the fire in the first period after the Kings put up 4 goals. So can't say enough about how he performed tonight as well. I thought it was a great performance in the crease.
When the Hawks were down 2-1, we talked about how Troy Murray always puts an importance on the next goal after you score. I mean, if San Jose were to strike there, we might be talking about a different hockey game. But Peter Mrazek, who's been very consistent, very strong, and just, you know what you're going to get from him on a daily basis. I think there's been like one game where Peter Mrazek's been off his A game. Any other, you know, rough outing by the Hawks typically is a result of the Hawks falling defensively or some type of broken play where the other team gets a rush or a 2-on-0 or 2-on-1 or something of that stature. It's hardly ever solely Peter Mrazek's fault. And, you know, what in addition he has been over the last 2 years, big reason why he signed a 2-year extension. You know, he doesn't care where the Hawks are in the standings right now. He enjoys this team. He enjoys being with this club and understands where they are in the rebuild and just wants to be a part of it as of right now. And same goes for Nick Foligno and Jason Dickinson, and it's a cool thing to see.
Yeah, you mentioned that opportunity that he's rarely out of position, and I tend to agree. The first goal, I think a lot of people would point to the fact that the whole right side of the net was wide open for the tap-in goal, but when you're the goaltender, your eye is on the shot. You're on the shooter. The rebound was relatively big, but no one closed out on the backside, so yeah, I totally agree that a lot of these goals, you know, tend to, you know, some of them get through, and it happens, but a lot of it is not to be put on the netminder's fault, even though the eye test would tell us otherwise. So, yeah, great game for Peter Mrazek tonight, 25 of 27. I know you got to get going here soon, Joe. I just want to ask you a little bit, one more question about Lucas Reichel. He gets on the score sheet tonight. 40 minutes, he was kind of invisible out there a little bit. He was playing physical, like you mentioned, and he was playing fast, and Athanasiou was definitely finding open opportunities. I know Seth Jones gave him a couple opportunities there as well. But that assist has to feel like a 1,000-pound weight lifted off your shoulders on the Korchinski goal. And it was the go-ahead goal, nonetheless.
Yeah, I think all in all, it was definitely a step forward for Lucas Reichel tonight. I mean, you can dissect and break down his game as much as you want. But, you know, 15 games left on the regular season, it's a lot to tell a 21-year-old, okay, you're given 15 games to turn your season around. And especially a guy like Lucas Reichel, who the Hawks have very high hopes for and expect and want him to have a long, fruitful career here with the Hawks. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of what happened down in Rockford. He went down there for 9 games. He picked up 7 points. He was good. I don't think he was explosive, but he was good. And he picked back up his confidence at least a little bit. That's what we've seen. And now there's 14 games to work with. So definitely a step in the right direction. And how we were talking about it on the pregame show too, Kev. I mean, not every player's growth or development is just a straight upward trajectory. It just doesn't always happen. It can, and maybe the best players do, but everyone's path is different. And I'm sure the Hawks are hoping that that's the case for Lucas Reichel, who did a lot of good things today. I just thought was more aggressive than we've seen him before, getting involved in plays along the boards. I thought he was fishing for pucks a lot more aggressively than he has in the past, making himself available in the crease, in the slot, shooting pretty quickly, but I think maybe he's got to have just a little bit more of a shoot first mentality.
And
you know, take my assessment for a grain of salt. I really, not that I'm right or wrong. I'm just, that's what I'm seeing at least in the short going of his quick return here to the NHL. So hopefully more steps forward. And I also feel like it's one of those things where if he picks up a goal like on his own merit, something of his doing, not just a tap-in or just an empty netter, you know, something that he's really earned and really deserved, I think that could do wonders for his confidence and do wonders for his rest of the year.
No doubt. I totally agree. I agree with the shoot-first mentality thing, especially with a guy with aspirations that hopes to be a top-six forward in this league for years to come. That was his 8th assist on the year. He's got 11 points now, 3 goals, 8 assists. And let's not forget, too, this is a contract year for Lucas Reichel. He's going to be a restricted free agent, so certainly playing for the paycheck a little bit here, too. We'll see where that all ends up. Joe, man, thanks so much. You did great. You and John are just so much fun to listen to. I love sharing the booth with you. You guys make it easy. And I'm really, really just grateful that I get to work with you guys. And the couple times that I've done it, I do not take it for granted. So this was a lot of fun, man. And good luck in L.A. I will be listening. You're going to be great.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. Appreciate all the kind words. Check is in the mail. And, no, we're lucky to have a very deep bench here at WGN Radio. You, Kevin Powell, Jack Heinrich all do such a great job. So it's fun. It's fun to be a part of it, and just a fun win to talk about. So hopefully another one on Tuesday. Great job, pal. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man. Yep, talk to you later. 5-2, Blackhawks get a win here at the United Center. They're headed out west. And Joe kind of gave the tease away for me. I'm going to do a little Lucas Reichel deep dive into some of the Blackhawks' first-round picks and why patience can be a virtue when it comes to being a fan of this team and realizing that not every first-round pick's trajectory is simultaneous. Not every trajectory is the same. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey, the postgame show right here on 720 WGN. Blackhawks now 19-44-5 on the season. Again, picking up win number 19 this evening here at the United Center with a 5-2 win. It wasn't exactly pretty through 40 minutes, but they certainly learned how to put it away in the third period. Got a really nice set of game notes here from the Blackhawks. They do a really nice job giving us these statistics and making it look really easy for us. And I have to say, a couple things that I'm looking at from the stat sheets before I get to my Lucas Reichel and points about former Blackhawks first-round picks. Leading after two periods, the San Jose Sharks coming into tonight's game 9-2-5, Blackhawks 12-4-1. But when trailing after two periods, the Blackhawks, 36 losses and 3 ties. So again, the odds were not in their favor. Come from behind wins have been far and few between for this team all season long, and they get their third one of the year. So now 3-36-3 when trailing after two periods. A really nice win. Joe was talking a lot about these first-round picks and how Lucas Reichel spent a month in Rockford to get his confidence back up. Tonight comes back up and manages to get a point, a primary assist on Kevin Korchinski's go-ahead goal to put up 3-2. Looking back at the last few years, it's really easy, I believe, this is personal opinion, I believe it's really easy to have recency bias when it comes to this Blackhawks team and the first-round picks and almost instant success that some of these guys have given us. Just to give you the last first-round pick that this team made, Connor Bedard, your best offensive player, 21 goals, 31 assists, or 32 assists now on the season, averaging a point a game. Kevin Korchinski, kind of getting there. You're starting to see the progressions. He played a little bit in the minors, but has really come along as a young player in this league. Lucas Reichel was your pick in 2020. He was your first-round pick. Kirby Dach, Adam Boqvist. You're looking at Alex DeBrincat was a second-round pick, but I'm talking about in general. The early first and second-round picks, it takes a long time for these guys to develop, but recency bias with the way Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews really developed so quickly in this league, they didn't need Rockford. They came in and they were almost instant, some of the best players in all of hockey, kind of like Connor Bedard is now. But two guys I want to circle that are involved and kind of on the same playing field, I would say, as Lucas Reichel in terms of development when they were picked. 2014, Nick Schmaltz, took him a long time to kind of get under his footing. It wasn't even with the Blackhawks that he got his footing. He's kind of turned his career around, and he's playing he's got 120 goals in his career, almost played 500 career games. Took him a little bit to get there, though, a lot of minor league time to get there. Send ups, send downs, it isn't instantaneous. You often don't come across players that are immediate game changers on that level. Kirby Dach didn't make it with the Blackhawks. They ended up trading him off. Lucas Reichel is a guy that they have hopes of being a top six player in this league. Yes, for sure. Is his ceiling still that? I believe so. He has a lot of work to do. No doubt about it. There is a ton of opportunities for him moving forward. He'll be hopefully on this roster next season. It is a contract year for him. He'll be a restricted free agent once the season is up. He's making less than $1 million this year. We'll see where that contract goes. If it's maybe it's a one-year prove-it deal or a 2 years, we're going to let you ease into this. You're only 21 years old. Let's give you 2 years here. This is where we want you to be. These are the projections we have you at. Another guy that was a first-round pick for this team that you know, took a year or so, 2 years, to really get up to speed and has really made a nice NHL career for himself is Teuvo Teravainen. If you guys remember, he only played 3 games in that 13-14 season, was sent back down to Rockford. 14-15, he played 34 games with the big league club and was sent up and down. In his second season, his third season, he played the whole season with the NHL. He hasn't looked back since. This is Lucas Reichel's third season. He played 50 games early on. The numbers, obviously, quite different here. You're looking at in Teuvo Teravainen's third season with the Hawks, he had 40 points. Reichel right now sitting at 11. So certainly not the same level, but that goes to the point of what I'm trying to make here is that every prospect develops at a different pace. The Blackhawks are not giving up on Lucas Reichel. He's got 14 more games now to play to try and prove himself. Give him a little bit of time and space. This assist tonight was huge. It had to feel really, really good for him. And certainly happy to see him get on the stat sheet. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to hear from Lucas Reichel. We got a little Kevin Korchinski sound as well, and the head coach as well. So we'll have a lot of sound coming up. We'll have the next game preview. All that and more here on the Blackhawks postgame show on WGN.
Off the draw, Fiala, shot, score! Kevin Fiala, right off the draw, almost had his back to the net, but he spun and wristed it past Wedgwood. The Kings are on the board here tonight.
And that is the next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago. Yes, that is the Los Angeles Kings, voice of the Kings there. It's going to be a late one Tuesday night for the Blackhawks as they head out to the West Coast. John and Joe will be on the call. Joe's heading out to L.A. Jack Heinrich will have your pre and post here from Blackhawk Central on WGN. Again, Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Jack Heinrich was in the locker room. He talked to a couple of the players. Let's get the sound from Lucas Reichel, if we do have that, Brett. I'd love to hear what he had to say after this one.
Yeah, good. I think at first, you know, like, you know, the pace of the game is a little bit different, but I just try to, you know, give everything 100% every shift and try to win every battle and, you know, just compete as hard as I can out there. And that was my focus before the game.
It seemed like you were a little more assertive, aggressive out there. Is that what you were working on in Rockford?
Yeah, just like, I know I'm not, you know, the biggest guy, but just using my body. And even when I have the puck, I can, you know, protect my body. Sometimes, I know in the second period I got hit and then I lost it, but I know if I keep working on that and protect the puck, I'm going to be able, you know, like to make more plays out of it.
What'd you see on Korchinski's goal?
Yeah, I think good battle by Fliggy in the behind the net, and then I just got the puck off the wall and give him a pass, and he just ripped it and it went in. So I think, yeah, good shot by him, and I think it was a, you know, good momentum changer in the game.
There was a play where kind of along the blue line you're almost like juggling the puck to keep it in. And is that, I guess, just kind of improvising on the fly with that kind of play?
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think about anything. I just tried to, you know, set the puck down, and then the guy came, so I like, tried to put it over him. And I don't know if it worked after, but I kind of did. But, you know, I just I wasn't thinking out there, so I just tried to have fun.
Do you get goosebumps when you hear how loud the building got in the third period?
Yeah, every time. I think even in the national anthem, you know, it's like always, doesn't matter how tired you before a game are, you're always pumped to go out there and compete, and that's the NHL, and it's always fun to play here.
Does this feel like one of those games where it didn't matter what each team's record is?
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, guys are battling for a spot in the team or for contract, and I mean, we all want to win. It doesn't matter where we at in the standings. So it was they compete hard, they battle till the end. But those in the third period, those goals, they helped us a lot and gave us momentum.
That's the voice of Lucas Reichel there. His first game back in over a month. He was sent down to Rockford on February 13th, and he had his first assist since being sent down. Obviously, first game back, that's what'll happen. Again, a goal or no goal, an assist. He finishes with a plus one in 13 minutes of ice time. But again, only one shot on goal for Reichel, who was on that third line tonight. He was centered by Andreas Athanasiou. That line, Athanasiou really showed a lot in terms of speed and offensive output tonight. He really tried to set up Reichel quite a bit.
you know, one shot is not really what you're looking for. You want him to be more of a first shot mentality type of player. But regardless, finishing as a plus one, your first game back, getting a point, getting on the board, that has to feel just really good for him. I'm sure Luke Richardson had some things to say when he was asked about him. Let's get to the head coach.
Yeah, I didn't really like our first period. I thought we started out okay, but I think I didn't think we played a hard enough game. And that's physically, but also just using our legs and playing in a straight line. I thought we had some really good ozone forechecks and some ozone time, and I think that led to playing a little faster, and that was a great job in our zone to start that rush with Khrushchev and Connor on that wall, winning those battles, and that started the rush, and I thought it was a great line rush, and Khrushchev driving the net did all the right things. So I think, you know, it kind of clicked in that it was going to work, so we continued to play that way. So gave us definitely some life, and going into the third period, I thought being the fresher team because they played and traveled, I think that was the good start. It was probably about the middle part of the second period that we started to play that way.
Great to see Korchinski score, but what did you see from him overall?
Yeah, no good. I thought he had some really good defensive plays as well. You know, and they're sometimes subtle and hard to see, and I think that's good for a defenseman because there's no big glaring mishaps, and it allowed him to get up the ice a few times tonight, and I really liked him shooting that puck. Like, he can sling it pretty good. I think sometimes he just doesn't pull the trigger, and he wants to make another play and to someone else, and you know, it's not selfish. I think it's a good team play to shoot pucks, so when the opportunity's there. So he got a good bounce. It hit something on the way in, but he shot it hard, and I think that's what we got to do that more, and he has to do that more as well.
What was he doing in the
He had some good gaps where he came from the inside out. Sometimes he gets himself on the outside working in, and that's not a good look for a defenseman. It's easy for guys to slip off, or you get you know, give up the blue lines, and you get penalties that way. Anytime you reach your stick lateral nowadays as a defenseman on the outside. So I think his positioning has been really good with the addition of his great skating and mobility. It's really helping him play defense better and get pucks and move it up to the forwards, and then jump by his guy that's checking him because he's really quick to get away.
Is that more of the assertiveness you were looking for from Reichel?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked him taking that puck to the net in the third period, and you know, a couple other times he almost got away, and I think he was being more aggressive on puck battles. Had a good block in the third period. I think everything was great, you know, other than he didn't probably have a great point blank chance to score, other than he missed on that one timer in their zone. But you know what? I like him thinking shot. So next time he'll hit that one.
Korchinski said he couldn't hear himself think after the fourth goal because the building was so loud. How much are you looking forward to getting this building rocking again in a few years when, you know, everyone's here and you guys are...
Yeah, and I think as it starts the game, I think we have to take that personality on. I thought we did a better job at different times this year and last year. Right now, I think we got to get back to that, and hopefully we want to take that energy and start the game so the building gets rocking early. We don't want to wait till the third period to rely on that, but it is one of the funnest places to play in sports for sure.
We've talked about, you know, Korchinski's wheels being elite all season. Just thinking back to what you saw starting like in 1987 as a player, who might you compare him to just in terms of his skating ability?
Oh, there's lots of guys that are you know, like a Scott Niedermeyer. That's who he wants to channel his game against. I know that's kind of dating back, but he was probably ahead of the curve in the way he skated and played the game. And you know, I mean, he was an effortless skater, but his positioning was always great. He never looked like he was scrambling back to the defensive zone, and he was always like, how did he get to the offensive crease? Like, he's sneaky and elusive, and that's the way Kevin's gotta be, and we've seen definitely some growth and signs there. So he's just got to continue to keep doing that and looking like that, and then, you know, he's going to be leading the charge on the offense, but he's always a guy that you count on defensively.
As you come back and had guys getting healthy again, the only line that you really haven't messed with is Blackwell, Dickinson, and Anderson. What is it about those three together that gives you so much confidence you can roll them at any time?
I'm assuming they like playing together. I haven't really sat down and talked to them, but I haven't heard complaints, and they're just reliable. I think, you know, kind of like-minded on the defensive side of the puck, but they can add it on the offense, and each one of them has done it at different times this year, and it's not always the same guy. It's all of them working together, and even Blackie was very instrumental on that goal. He didn't get an assist on it, but you know, he was doing the right things and in the right places that someone has to focus on him, and then Anderson's open on the backside and gets the goal. So I think they just enjoy their role. They all love the challenge of playing against the top lines and the other team, and they know when they can get the other team vulnerable and they're a little bit sloppy, the offensive guys in the other team, and they know when to attack.
You know, obviously, you know what the Hawks and the Sharks are competing for in the lottery down the line, but Reichel was making a point that you can see guys out there competing for contracts and slots for next year. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and I saw that with their team. I saw a lot of spunk in their game early in the game. They came out and played a real smart and fast, hard, 30 minutes, and then I thought we found our game and found our legs and did the same. And we're coaches and we're players, so we don't really think about the other part of the business that goes on later in the year. I just think that we play as hard as we can and in the right way. Good karma and good things happen, and that's what happened last year for us.
Yeah, certainly this team does play very, very hard. A ton of great efforts from all around from defensemen tonight. You got a lot of love for Kevin Korchinski, obviously, with the go-ahead goal there, and a huge moment for him. Hasn't scored a lot this year, but remember, when we were talking about with the prospect thing, he's 19 years old. He was a first-round pick. He's a guy that they have a lot of high hopes for. 20 minutes of ice time tonight for Korchinski, but one guy we haven't talked about enough, I know Joe gave him the hard-working player of the game, Jared Tenorti, finished with a +3 tonight with 16 minutes of ice time. Seth Jones played almost half the game, 27 minutes, and he created a lot of opportunities, finished as a +1, had a shot on goal there. But yeah, you heard Luke asked about it right there at the end. These are two teams at the bottom of the standings in the Western Conference and in hockey. The Blackhawks sitting now at 43 points. The San Jose Sharks are at 39 points. This is both teams now eyeing the number one pick potentially, but you wouldn't know it based on the efforts and the responses that you get from these players and these coaches every night. It's a team that is going to give you their best effort. They do play a hard-working brand of hockey. They bounced back after a really tough loss on Friday, 5-0, where the offense was pretty much non-existent. Tonight, that top line was right back where you wanted them to be. You had 2 points from Philip Kurashev, you had 2 points from Connor Bedard, and 2 points from Anderson. Johnson. So, again, there's a lot to learn from here. There's a lot of young players on this team. It's going to take time. You beat a team you were supposed to beat tonight. Let's get to Kevin Korchinski just for a moment here. We have a couple of minutes. I want to hear what the young defenseman had to say.
Yeah, obviously. Everybody here wants to win. Everybody in the locker room wants to win. It feels better after the games, just in practices. Just talking to guys whenever we're winning, it just feels better. So, it's good to get that tonight and get that feeling and have gooder day tomorrow.
How important is that just to close out the season, get another month here, to get pick up some more wins and have some good feeling going?
Yeah, obviously we got a lot to play for. Everybody wants to, they're just prideful about themselves as hockey players, our team. We got a lot of pride, and we want to go out there every night and show our fans that we care and we want to win.
When you hear how loud the building got after your goal and Joey's goal, does that kind of give you excitement for the future to want to get this building rocking again?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I couldn't even hear myself think when Joey scored, so it's unreal, and we got to get more of that in the future, and that's the stuff you play for. It's special. It's really special.
You guys got a couple shots on them early on. Did you feel like it was only a matter of time that maybe the offense would start generating?
Yeah, I think we just kind of stuck with the game plan. Obviously, you need to get shots in the net and bodies there and just kind of crash the net and make the goalie feel uncomfortable. And obviously, tend to work better in the second, third, and we got more shots and we got rewarded. So it's we got to stick that game plan against LA and do that.
Kevin, your wheels are great. How much more comfortable are you getting now?
Yeah, I think the coaching staff and teammates have done an excellent job on helping me feel comfortable. And just compared to the start of the year, just make me feel better, like whether the puck, whether it's defense, and just relying and trusting each other. And it's been unreal. It's just all credit to them.
And that is the voice of Kevin Korchinski there, the young Blackhawks defenseman who gave them a 3-2 lead. Blackhawks never looked back after that. Korchinski's fourth of the year, primary assist by Lucas Reichel, his eighth assist of the season. So, Blackhawks hockey, sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time.
and Northwestern Medicine. A ton of people to thank. Mary Boyle, Paul Zerang, John Weideman, Joe Brand, Jack Heinrich, Brett, and everybody back at the WGN station. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.